So I have to be honest with you this evening. I got nothing to say at Christmas. I have no inspirational message. I have no words of wisdom. You know, I don't even have a slightly amusing story to tell you. I'm tapped out. I've been preaching every Christmas for 10 years now, and I have nothing new to say. I don't know how you do it, Father Louis. He's been a priest 25, 26 years or something now. I'm 10 years. I'm done. And I've been racking my brain for a couple of weeks about this because I really wanted this Christmas celebration to be perfect. I even had, you know, some notes I wrote this past summer. I read this book and I said, oh, this will be great at Christmas. And then I go and look at those notes that I'd taken in July and I mean, it's no good. And all of it is making me feel kind of grinchy this Christmas. It's been stressing me out for the past couple of weeks. And what I find is that there's only two things to do when this happens. Well, I don't know, maybe there are more, but I only thought of two. Either recycle some dreck that I said a few years back, or I can go back and read the gospel again. And then read it again and again. See, I actually believe that the Word of God has power. You know, I believe what it says in that book of Hebrews, indeed the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. I believe that the Word of God is active and living. But the question is, do I really want it piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow? It's Christmas. There'll be enough carving going on. And what's that line from The Grinch? And they'll carve the roast beast. You know, like that. There'll be enough of that going on. It's a whole lot easier to recycle an old homily, isn't it? Plus, it's good to recycle. Well, maybe not in this one case. So I went back to the text. I went back to the Bible. I remember Father Adelci Bertoli, who was my old religion teacher in grade 8, and he would say, it's in the Bible, it's in the Bible. If you know Father Bertoli, he's at St. Monica's, and that's pretty good. That's a pretty accurate imitation of him. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And anyway, he was usually right. So I went to the Bible. And after a while, I started to focus in on the shepherds. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds, they're simple, honest, hardworking people. This is not the learned, the powerful, the wealthy. These are people who do not have, you know, any pretense to power or sophistication. Shepherds are ordinary folks who have ordinary problems. And I think it's when we strip away the artifice and the pretense of having it all together that we are better able to hear and see God at work in our lives. Jesus said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. God calls us still, but it's only in humility. It's only in recognizing our smallness that I believe we have any hope of hearing him. The shepherds are living in the fields. They are not sheltered. They do not live any sort of a sheltered existence. In fact, they're pretty vulnerable out there. And I grew up with what you would, you know, probably seem like some sort of a, you know, an idyllic childhood. And maybe it was even sheltered. The nights I spent outdoors in the fields, that was for fun because I was with the scouts. I didn't step out of my comfort zone. I didn't have to step out of my comfort zone. I didn't have to be vulnerable very often. But the shepherds, that's their life. And the shepherds, they have a lot of silence in their lives too. And it's in silence that they watched over their flock by night. And it's there that they became the little child, capable of encountering the Lord. It's in the darkness that the heavenly light dawns. It's in silence that they hear the angels singing to them. You know, Soren Kierkegaard, who is a Danish philosopher, said, "If I could prescribe only one remedy for all the ills of the modern world, I would prescribe silence." And man, I am terrible at this. I don't even like silence in bed. I go to bed listening to podcasts. That's usually what I fall asleep to. But he says, "For even if the word of God were proclaimed, no one would hear it. There is too much noise. Therefore, create silence." Again, it's like Dr. Seuss says, the thing the Grinch hated the most of all was noise. Noise, 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 noise. Dr. Seuss has it right. The shepherds are going about the ordinariness of their lives. And it's in the quiet darkness that the angel appears to them, and the glory of God shone around them. God is full of surprises. He comes to us in the ordinariness of our lives. He surprises the shepherds. God surprises almost everyone in choosing to be born in a manger, not a palace, in choosing to be born in simple, humble surroundings. And right then, the shepherds, they're not just surprised, they're terrified. You know, the sophisticated scholar in that moment would want to interpret and find reasoning, find meaning in it. The shepherds, in their childlike humility, in their lack of pretense, they're simply afraid. But the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy." Fear turns to awe, wonder at that moment. This good news of the incredible event of the incarnation, the fact that our God, the creator of heaven and earth, has chosen to become one of us, the fact that the creator, in his passionate love for us, has entered into his creation. In God's desire for real, authentic, loving relationship with us, chose to become one of us. That is the awesome Christmas event. That is the joy. That is the good news. And the angel tells the shepherd that this event is for you. This isn't for mankind in general. This is an intensely personal event. The Almighty God comes into our fields and our stables, into our offices and our homes. It is for you that Jesus comes. God is calling you to encounter him. Can you hear that call? I know that our world is full of distractions, of constant noise that makes it hard. I know that sometimes I fool myself into thinking that I can fill myself up with things like, you know, ambition and fleeting pleasures and material things. I know that I sometimes fool myself into thinking that superficial relationships are real and authentic. But in Christmas, the Lord calls us to the deepest type of relationship. He invites us, he invites you to encounter his unconditional, his passionate love for you. Are you willing to feel the joy of becoming a little child once more? Are you willing to strip off the pretense of not needing anyone else and take shelter in the one who loves you unconditionally? Are you willing to take the risk and experience the freedom of letting your guard down? Are you willing to spend a few moments in silence and to go into that deepest part of your soul? Are you willing to admit that you still long for something greater, for meaning and fulfillment in your life? The Lord is inviting you to something greater. His love allows us to find meaning and fulfillment in our lives in a way that nothing else can. A relationship with Jesus means that even in the deepest, darkest, quietest place in our life, we are never alone. He is with us. Having a relationship with Jesus means you can face up to anything, that you can find peace in the midst of any turmoil, and find joy in the darkest of times. A relationship with Jesus means all your other relationships are more meaningful, are actually deeper and more loving. I have good news of great joy for each and every one of you. The Lord is inviting you to something greater. The shepherds respond to that invitation. They go to Bethlehem. From the fields, they go to the stables. And the word of God has power. It has the power to move us, to evoke a response. You know, the shepherds, they are not the wise men who will come bearing gifts. The shepherds come just as they are. They come with dirt under their fingernails and probably with some dirt still in their heart. And yet they come. They come to him. They come to receive the Christ child into the world. They come to receive him into their lives. They come in wonder and in awe. The understanding, that'll come later. They go a short distance from the field to the stable to meet the one who came from heaven to earth, to encounter the Word made flesh. The Lord invites you to that encounter. He's inviting you to it now. And so I'm going to invite you to join with me in coming before Jesus. I'm going to invite you to take a few moments in silence to try and quiet your hearts. I'm going to invite you to let go of all the pride and ego that holds us back. And I understand that this may require us moving out of our comfort zones. But I'm inviting you to something deeper. I'm going to pray for the God of surprises to surprise us once more and fill us with wonder and awe. And then after a few moments of silence, I'm going to kneel before the nativity scene. In a few moments of silence, then I'm going to read the Word of God. I'll read the gospel that we just heard once more because I believe it is living and active, that it can penetrate through all our defenses and it can move us. It can move us closer to Him. And just like the Grinch, our hearts can grow four sizes. So I invite you to please kneel. And we're going to take a minute and a half of silence. And you try and just quiet your hearts. Try and turn off some of the distractions, some of the noise that is within you, and come before the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While they were in Bethlehem,
the time came for the baby to be born. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Gospel of the Lord.